Blog Talk Radio.
2011 has made a mighty roar, and we have so much to look forward to in this year. 2010 is gone. It's over with. It's forgotten in some cases and wants to be forgotten. And in that spirit, we're looking at not only the United States, but activities and events that are taking place around the world. We're going to have a worldwide landscape on today's show talking about politics, talking about different situations that we are facing with in terms of jobs and our economy, and then later on in the show, a remarkable story about a remarkable man with a remarkable voice. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Happy New Year. We're glad to have you join us on Focus on Empowerment. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show, and welcome to 2011. I am really excited about our show. We're actually back on the air on the Internet, and I'm always looking forward to my guests and looking forward to you, the listeners, and all of the wonderful things that you do. Thank you so much for joining us, our friends out in California. I get your emails. Thank you. I'm so glad for those of you here on the East Coast and those who are trying to pull us up online in other countries. We know that this is a very exciting program, and we're really glad that you're on. Shoot us an email at tellcarol.com. That's TELLCAROLE. If you have a show idea, a guest that you want to have on our program, or something that you think really should get out to our listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Our website is I'll give you two websites, tellcarol, T-E-L-L, C-A-R-O-L-E, and also mssconnect.com, mssconnect.com. You can go to those websites and find out more about our business product services. We have a new publication coming out that I'll tell you about a little later on, Connections Magazine, and so many good things in store for 2011. Well, I want to bring my guest on right now. We're going to talk about politics and talk about what's going on in the world of Washington, D.C., all of the activities that are taking place around the United States, and certainly how does that pertain to you, your family, your job, your community, and where you see yourselves headed. We have with us today, back by popular design, by popular demand, he was on back in June of last year, the communications director for Media Matters, a progressive organization based in Washington, D.C., Chris Harris. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Carol. It's great to be back.
Glad to have you. Well, I know you guys are probably spinning out those press releases, and I get your emails all the time. What keeps you guys really hopping now that we have a new Congress, which we're going to talk about, new issues and issues that just don't go away?
Well, we have two organizations. One is focused mainly on the political side. So one is called Media Matters Action, and we run a website called politicalcorrection.org. And we're really focused on the new Republican majority's promise to repeal health care reform. Mm-hmm. They've released the bill. It's a ridiculously named bill called the Repeal the Job-Killing Health Care Law Act, which is completely bogus because, obviously, health care reform was predicted to create jobs, but so we're really keeping an eye on that. It will pass the House, that's for sure, because it's a Republican House. It has absolutely no chance in the Senate, and even if it did, it would be vetoed by the President. So healthcare reform is here to stay for now. People do not have to worry about that because it did some great things. If the repeal bill somehow got through in the Republicans' dreamland, seniors would fall back into the Medicare donut hole. Their costs would go up. People could get denied insurance for pre-existing conditions. And students who graduated college and are having a tough time finding a job would get kicked off their parents' insurance. So it's a very good thing that it'll be defeated. And quite frankly, it's a waste of time that it's even being voted on.
You know, and that's what I'm trying to figure out, Chris. You know, I understand people have to stand on principles, and a lot of these individuals who are new into Congress, particularly into the House of Representatives, are either affiliated with their respective Tea Party organization in their state, or they believe in those principles. But when you look at the time factor and, quite frankly, the money factor that's going to go into this bill, I mean, what's the motivation of immediately bringing up a piece of legislation that is going to repeal something that's taken years to actually pass?
They made a promise to some of their more extreme supporters that they would get this done. Unfortunately for them, they have absolutely no chance of getting this done, so they at least want to make it look like they tried. And apparently trying and failing is better to them than not trying at all. And It wastes everyone's time, and that's really all you can say. I think they're definitely misguided, and they're definitely misreading the American people if they think this is what they want.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, I mean, you guys keep up on all the activities that are taking place, certainly with conservative talk, conservative radio and television programs. Now that the Republicans control the House, they don't control the Senate, but they do control the House, and you know many of them were elected. A lot of the blue dog Democrats were swept out of office. When you look at this new House and this new brand, what do you think, in addition to the health care piece, what is going to be, what are the ideas, the suggestions, the new pieces of legislation that will create jobs that are being brought forth by the Republicans? I want to see what concerns me. You can have a particular ideology politically, but if you don't have a solution and if you are just a complainer, why bother to say anything at all? Are there solutions? Are there resources? Are there job and economic ideas that are really substantial and are being brought forth by the Republicans, Chris Harris?
Right now, no. They campaigned on the extending the Bush tax cuts, and Congress has already done that for 2 years.
Right.
And so really all their plan now is to cut spending. They won't tell anyone what they're going to cut, but they want to cut spending. And that does not create jobs.
Exactly.
It doesn't create a single job. It actually, if it's wasteful spending,
I've heard a couple of Republicans, particularly some of the Republicans who are in office, and these are senators and congressmen who are in office, and some of the reporters are pushing them very hard on, okay, specifically what are you going to cut? Are you going to cut something in defense? Are you going to cut something in some of the homeland security issues? What specifically? And I haven't heard one person yet define what they're going to cut and how it's going to impact the deficit.
No, absolutely not, because they spend all their time complaining about spending, but when it comes to actually make the tough choices about what they think should actually be cut from the budget, they talk in broad platitudes and refuse to give specifics because they don't have any in mind. It's easy to fit on a bumper sticker. It's easy to yell about when you're standing on a stage. But when you have to go comb through the federal budget and look for things that are unpopular, unneeded, and easy to get rid of, they just can't find it. I think hopefully they're able to find some wasteful programs, both on the social side and the defense side.
We'd love to have those eliminated. Everybody would.
Absolutely. And right. I think there could be bipartisan cooperation to eliminate programs that have outlived their usefulness.
Certainly.
Or program, maybe if there's two different programs that do the exact same thing, fold them into one. I think everyone can get on board that. It's the cutting essential services that progressives oppose, because especially in a tough economy, we don't want to remove people's safety nets or kick people to the curbs,
right?
When they have been, you know, thrust into tough times through no fault of their own. This is when government should step up and help its citizens. And I think progressives want to ensure that it's still there to help people when needed. And I think the Republicans in Congress know that that's very unpopular to get rid of that stuff, which is why they're refusing to name specifics and just talking in broad generalities.
But now that, I mean, I look at what the lame duck Congress did in the month of December. I actually devoted part of my show last month to the tremendous bills that were passed, one of them being Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I know that many progressives early on were very disappointed that President Obama didn't seem to spend enough time and attention with gay, lesbian, and GLBT issues. Do you think that now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is a law, it's going to actually be implemented in the next couple of months, do you think that satisfies the progressive arm of the Democratic Party?
I think it pleased them. I don't know that everyone is completely satisfied. I think especially the progressives, everyone's very happy that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. And I think progressives in the House, Senate, and in the White House deserve a lot of credit for that. I think there's still a lot to be done, and many progressives feel that those in Washington can be speak louder as an advocate for progressive issues, including equality issues. Media Matters actually just last month launched a new component of our organization called Equality Matters, which is headed up by Richard Socarides, a former aide to President Clinton in the White House, and Carrie Elleveld, who was a Washington correspondent for The Advocate, which was an LGBT news publication,
a magazine.
Yep. Yes.
Right.
And so they are launching this new organization, which is part of Media Matters, to help fight for full equality and provide cover for progressives in Washington and to help nudge public opinion just a little bit more. We've come a long way in the last 10 years. But just help give decision makers and leaders the cover and to help nudge public opinion. And they're going to be fighting for full equality. And while I think progressives are definitely pleased and definitely happy that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, and they're definitely thankful to the president for, you know, keeping that promise and getting it done,
I
think there's more to do, just broader. And I think that getting Don't Ask, Don't Tell repealed helped motivate them that progress can be made and to push for more.
Well, you know, speaking of broadening the focus of Equality Matters, and obviously it sounds like that arm of your organization is going to focus on GLBT issues, it would be great to also add equality of women's pay, which still isn't there. It's still around 76 cents on the dollar.
It is so infuriating.
Yes, and nobody's really, really advocating for that as we are with some of the other issues. So would love to have Media Matters really stick your hat in the ring and see if we can't get something like that moved more to fairness and equality in terms of pay equity.
Mm-hmm. And the first bill President Obama signed was the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, making it easier for women who are discriminated against to sue their employers. There's still so much that needs to be done in the Congress and in the courts to rectify this, because there's no excuse for women getting paid less for doing the same job.
And, I mean, it's been the same for years. I mean, this I've been doing diversity work 23, 24 years, and that's 76 cents. It's been in place for at least 20 years and has not moved a penny. So that's something that needs to really be looked at.
It's a big problem. A very big problem.
It is. I want to shift and ask you specifically about the Tea Party and the research that you have coming up in terms of their activities. Clearly, they had some big wins, and that's why there was a shift in power with Congress. What do you see? How do you see the Tea Party playing out in the next year and certainly leading up to the 2012 elections?
I think that they're going to continue to oppose President Obama, you know, very aggressively. But I think as far as, like, getting in the news and getting news coverage, I think people are kind of bored of that story, that Tea Partiers oppose President Obama, because that's sort of old news.
Right.
I think even more interesting is going to be the dynamics within the Republican Party, where you have people who are maybe a little bit more moderate a little bit more reasonable here in Washington, who, now that they have a majority in a House of Congress, they need to actually focus on governing and not just complaining all the time.
Yeah.
And I think, however small that portion of the House is, I think they're going to be at odds with both some of the more conservative freshmen that were just elected and the Tea Party grassroots. And I think
that's
there's going to be
really
a civil war.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see that. I'm glad you brought that up, Chris Harris, just talking about. I've wondered where that moderate Republican voice has been. Where are those moderate Republicans? I had a conversation back in March along with an organization I belong to with Scott Brown. People really thought that he was going to be the champion of the Tea Party. And I remember asking him in his, to his face. I said, now, you know, as a representative of an African-American community, I live in the state of Massachusetts. You are going to represent me on in Congress. You were supported by the Tea Party. How are you going to balance that off in terms of the support you got from the Tea Party when, in fact, you represent someone like me and many people like me? And his answer was kind of, it was awkward, but I remember one thing from that conversation. He said, remember, I am a Massachusetts Republican. And, in fact, he has voted like a Massachusetts Republican. So I'm even looking at my own senator, and how is he going to be seen in the eyes of Tea Party advocates? Are they going to support him like they did? He's running for re-election. He's running for election again in 2012, a full election campaign. And people like a Scott Brown, Olympia Snowe, and the others, how are they going to match up to very vocal people like on the Congress, the other side, people like Rand Paul?
I think Scott Brown is in a very tough position because I think there's a very good chance that he gets a primary challenge if he's too in the middle. And as we saw in the fall, there are many, many moderate Republicans who get challenged by Tea Party-supported candidates and their careers are done. And I think he has to walk a fine line because if he's too conservative, he has no chance at winning a general election in Massachusetts. But if he's too liberal, he has no chance of getting through a primary. So he probably has the trickiest path. In Maine with the with Snow and Collins, one of them is up in 2012. I can't remember which one. I think they are probably just going to tack right and be conservative, because I think they have a strong enough brand in Maine where they feel, I don't think this is the case, but I think they think if they get through a primary, then they'll coast to re-election. I think they're going to have some real issues, because I don't think the strength of the Tea Party was based on the Tea Party being popular or the Republican policies being popular. I think it was just the economy was bad and people wanted to shake things up.
And they want a job.
Absolutely. And economy's rebounding. It's still ticking along, taking more time than people would like, but it's coming along. New jobs report is going to be released tomorrow, and it's supposed to be very good news. So I think when the once the economy comes back,
that's
going
to be
people are going to be more skeptical.
Obama. Going to be a real win, and it's going to be more difficult to really be a lot of complaint, be a complainer. Again, and I was talking to someone in a leadership position here in Massachusetts about this. You know, we want to see what the naysayers have to bring to the table. We want to see what their plan is, particularly with health care. What is the alternative to the health care reform bill that was passed? We knew it was not perfect. We knew it didn't have the public option. All of those things weren't on the table, but at least it was a bill. It was passed, and it can be worked on with amendments, et cetera. I don't have the confidence in knowing that the opposition or those who are on the other side of the fence have a game plan valuable enough to stimulate the economy and to increase jobs and to keep the taxes in place and not to raise the debt ceiling. All of that, that's a tricky balance, really tricky balance. I don't have the confidence. Are you seeing something different, Chris Harris?
I'm not. I think the next 2 years are going to be very frustrating because I think the House and Senate are going to butt heads even more than they already have because not only do they have different procedures and rules, and different members, but now they are controlled by two different parties. And
right.
I think that getting those two to agree and pass the same bills is going to be tricky. And I think, quite frankly, the House, their main goal is making sure Obama isn't reelected. And Senator Mitch McConnell, the minority leader in the Senate, has said that's his goal, is
yeah.
making sure Obama isn't reelected. So
outrageous.
I think it's going to be very frustrating to see just the political gamesmanship all geared toward 2012 and not focused on governing the country in 2011.
With the two arms now of Media Matters Action and Equality Matters, and I want to remind my guests, too, to go to MediaMatters.org, that's MediaMatters.org. Go there, and I'm sure you probably still have this on your website. There's a great section on part of your website to help listeners and help people to form questions to ask when they're calling talk shows. I find that a lot of people listen to talk shows, particularly conservative talk shows, and I've done this. I've called conservative talk shows just to stir things up and to create a dialogue. And you can actually have a dialogue on these shows when you know the questions to ask and how to approach some of the talk show hosts
mm-hmm.
so that they don't blow you off the air. Can you share with us a little bit more information about that section of your website?
Well, it's I believe it's off the About Us, and there's
yes.
like additional information, and
right.
it's off to the right, and there's some frequently asked questions. And I think it's very important for, I mean, sometimes it's tough getting past the call screeners if you're a little too skeptical. They like to only hear from people who agree with them often.
Right.
But I think it's important for, especially in talk radio, which is dominated by conservative voices, it's important for the listeners to know that there's another side out there.
Exactly.
And that maybe the entertainer who has a microphone and a point of view doesn't always have the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when intelligent, well-informed callers call in and challenge and push back and sort of help the listeners get both sides of the story and the real story, I think that's a great service to those. And oftentimes it's also just quite a bit of fun to get under their skin a little bit by pointing out that they're wrong.
I've done it, and it's interesting. I did it with a local talk show host here who has a very popular show, and I went on and made my case and stated my information, and he was pretty silent. He didn't he was not able to challenge what I was saying, even when a listener came on after I spoke and tried to poke holes in some of the comments that I was making, and I was surprised that the host actually had to defend what I was saying. So again, if you know your facts and you go on, you can have a discussion in a way that your voice can be heard. And that's the same thing. I'm also, because of the work that I'm doing, I'm also encouraging people to go read articles online and make comments online, because, again, so frequently there are plants that come on and they read these articles at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning when they're actually posted, and they make the first cut. And so they're on the first page of the comments section. I'm not advocating for people to get up that early in the morning, but just to make your comments so that your voice can be heard. And I'm concerned that progressives and those reasonable individuals, even moderate Republicans, their voices are not being heard. They're being shouted down by these angry, lewd individuals who have an opinion that doesn't necessarily jive with the opinions of other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So tell us, give us a sense of the emails that I get quite frequently, the kind of research that Media Matters does in these closing minutes, Chris Harris. Tell us about the work that you do. Do you have a staff that literally watches from beginning to end some of the conservative programs that are on the air? How do you do the research?
Oh, absolutely. We have a staff of 45 researchers who continually monitor both mainstream and conservative media outlets, from ABC, NBC, and CBS
mm-hmm.
to Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, and take in all the information, dissect it, find out what's right, what's wrong, and we fact check it and make sure that the truth is getting out there. We have researchers monitoring this from 5 a.m. to midnight.
Wow.
So we're out there 19 hours a day, 7 days a week, and make sure nothing gets biased, because especially with the power of Fox News, and it really is quite sad that they can pretty much manipulate Republicans in Congress, because Glenn Beck has much more fans than John Boehner.
Hmm.
So if those two butt heads, then Glenn Beck has an army he can send calling the Hill or to throw a tea party out on the National Mall.
Yeah,
so
go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Fox News basically is the Republican Party's message center.
Right.
So it's very important for the progressive community to hold them accountable for what they say and get the truth out there, because 9 times out of 10, if you hear it on Fox, it's not going to be true.
So how is that going to impact this 112th Congress that we've talked about in terms of the power of Fox News, if in fact you have a lone wolf Republican who doesn't quite agree with the party line and wants to make his or her message known? How is that person going to be able to get their message out there?
Well, I don't think it's going to happen. I think there have been a few Republicans who have come out against Fox News and criticized them for being a little too loose with the facts or a little too combative, just criticize the way they go about business. And, I mean, the perfect example is a congressman or former congressman named Bob Inglis, who was in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he held some town hall meetings in which he was caught on camera criticizing Glenn Beck.
Mm.
And so that upset his local Tea Party, and he was beat in a primary because he criticized Glenn Beck.
Wow.
And he was no moderate. He was a very, very conservative member of Congress who agreed with progressives on nothing. But he criticized Glenn Beck, and so that was the end of his political career.
Mm.
So I think either Republicans will learn from that and not criticize Fox, or they will do so and then be shouted down and never to be heard from again. So it's a very tough for a Republican who is not on board with Fox, because there's not a whole lot of wiggle room there.
And speaking of that, just in closing, when you look at it's almost going to be a lockstep Republican Party who will have to align themselves with those personalities on television and radio that have the audience and the base, the Limbaughs, the Rush Limbaughs, the Glenn Becks of the world. How do you think that's going to affect, if you were to have your crystal ball out there, first of all, who do you think is going to run for president for 2012, and what kind of impact is Fox going to have on the upcoming 2012 election, Chris Harris?
The 2012 Republican primary election will be won or lost on Fox News. Half of the candidates are already employed by Fox News. You have Mike Huckabee, who has a show, and Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich, Rick Santorum are all contributors. They're paid by Fox to give commentary. So you have a bunch of coworkers angling for the same job, and basically it depends who Roger Ailes, who is the CEO of Fox News,
right,
and depends who Fox News, or Roger Ailes, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, and Bill O'Reilly, who they get behind. And it will be won or lost on Fox News, and it will be very, very interesting to watch.
Well, we will have to have you back on. I'm very curious to see how far Sarah Palin gets. What do you think about her chances of winning the primary?
I'm back and forth on this. I think she – I don't know. This is a tough one. I could see her doing extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
I think many Republicans question whether she can beat President Obama in a general election, and I think rightly so, because she would definitely lose.
Right.
But I think just as we saw how the Tea Party wasn't – there weren't a whole lot of people in the Tea Party, but they were very loud and very passionate, and they got their way. I think the same could be true for Sarah Palin voters, where they may be outnumbered, but more of them organize, more of them knock on doors, make phone calls, raise money, and she just has like a ready-made army of passionate supporters to get her message out. And I think that could help her win, especially in smaller states like Iowa and South Carolina.
It's going to be absolutely fascinating. I mean, between the health care bill, some of the other pieces of legislation, trying to figure out how to what to cut and how the budget is going to be passed, we have a very interesting year ahead of us. And Chris Harris, I thank you so much for being a guest on my program. Give us the websites again where people can go and learn more about Media Matters.
We have mediamatters.org and politicalcorrection.org.
Great. Chris Harris, thank you so much for being a guest on my program. Happy New Year.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year to you.
All right. Take care. Well, that's just an overview of what's going on with our Congress, with the House of Representatives, the Senate. Let me give you some numbers from yesterday. I watched bits and pieces of I actually watched quite a bit of the opening session of Congress. I've just finished up watching the conclusion of the inauguration speech from Governor Deval Patrick, who was reelected pretty handily back in November here in Massachusetts, and he has just been installed in office for the second time. It was very exciting. 4 years ago, 70-degree weather, I was downtown in Boston with my daughter Michelle watching, I believe I was with my daughter Michelle, watching this wonderful, wonderful installation of office, the inauguration, the first time for Governor Patrick. He had some early hits. He made some early mistakes and had to get all that straightened out. 6 to 8 months ago, people were doubtful that he was going to win an election, but that became a moot point as we got closer to November. He ran, again, a brilliant, effective grassroots campaign. I'm mentioning this because if you pay attention to how Deval Patrick ran his race and won, you are looking at the forerunner of the 2012 election with Barack Obama. Trust me, it is pretty much the same organizational structure, the same tactics, the same strategy, and my prediction 2 years out is that President Obama is going to win. I think there are going to be enough accomplishments, enough things that you can point to where he is going to win the election. It's going to be a very tough 2 years. We've already talked to Chris about that and all of the issues that our country faces, the world faces. But again, when you look at the wins and you look at the strategy that he is going to put forth, he's already bringing David Fluff into the White House in terms of the management and the staffing that is changing as we speak. David Axelrod is going out to run the campaign, and so they're already starting. But if you watch Deval Patrick in Massachusetts, and if you watch how he won and all the things he had to overcome, and he still kept his job, you are watching the forerunner of the 2012 election with Barack Obama. Trust me, it is going to happen that way. It was just amazing. I saw it 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago now, with how Patrick ran his campaign, the diligence, the organization, the grassroots. I was very active in that campaign. And when I saw that and saw how he won from nowhere and didn't have as much money as the leading candidates in terms of the money that they had raised, but the grassroots efforts, they were in place, and that's why he won. And then shortly thereafter, I kept hearing about this Barack Obama in 2007. Yes, he's going to run for office. I saw the same organizational structure, and I happened to like and align myself with what he was saying and the policies that he was going to put forth. And I was an early supporter of Obama because I had seen it played out here in Massachusetts. So watch Massachusetts politics. They don't talk about it a lot with mainstream, but you watch what's going on in Massachusetts, and you can see a forerunner for the 2012 election. That being said, yesterday when they actually elected the Speaker of House of the House for the House of Representatives, John Boehner got 241 votes, Nancy Pelosi got 173 votes, and there were a cast of other individuals in the House who got a total of 19 votes. And so, obviously, John Boehner is our new Speaker of the House. He's an interesting guy, really, really interesting. And again, just as Chris had talked about, it's going to be very interesting how he does that balancing act. He's got these hardcore conservatives, Tea Party activists, balancing off with more moderate Republicans and this whole concept of bipartisanship. Let's see how that happens. With the Congressional Black Caucus, they met and had Nancy Pelosi to come and speak to them, and there are now 43 newly installed congressmen and women in the Congressional Black Caucus. No senators, all in the House. Many years ago in the 1970s, when the CBC started, there were 13 original congressmen and women in the Congressional Black Caucus, and now there are 43. So it's a very strong contingency in the House and hopefully soon in the Senate as well. So I want to share with you information about Connections Magazine, and I'm just excited about the number of companies and organizations that are signing up. I'm very excited. So just want you to listen to a little bit about it. We still have holiday rates that we are extending through January 17th, and we'd love for you to come on board as an advertiser and sponsor of Connections Magazine.
Connections Magazine is the magazine for you. We're looking for advertisers like you to be a part of our very first premier issue. Corporations, educational institutions, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, small businesses, entrepreneurs, community advocates, individuals, faith-based organizations, sororities and fraternities, associations, families, and those placing a memorial tribute. Connections is a news and professional development publication targeted at a multicultural audience of professionals, advocates, and emerging leaders who are making a positive impact on a globally diverse world. Our first issue of this specialty magazine will debut in the spring of 2011. The initial print run will be 10,000 to 15,000 copies distributed across Massachusetts, New England, and across the United States. This issue will have a special emphasis on global diversity and inclusion. It's people, businesses, institutions, and organizations that impact the marketplace in our globally connected world. Our special holiday pricing provides you with an opportunity to select your advertising space in a cost-effective manner before the prices go up at the end of the month. When you advertise by December 21st, you save lots of dollars on your ad. Plus, you'll receive the free memberships in the Multicultural Symposium Series when you advertise in Connections. Pricing just right for your organization, large or small. And individuals can also advertise. To receive a media kit with pricing, please email me at tellcarol@mac.com. That's TELLCAROLE @mac.com, and put Connections Media Kit in the subject line. Please indicate if you're a small business, nonprofit, or an individual. Or you can call me at 508-947-5755 if you have any questions or comments. I'm Carol Copeland Thomas, and I'm excited about Connections Magazine and want you to be a part of our big debut. Show your commitment to multiculturalism, global diversity, and inclusion. Advertise in Connections today.
I'm really excited about the campaign, about the publication that we're working on, and again, we hope that you will stay tuned and give us a ring or send us an email. We'd love to have your company or your organization on board with our new publication. So you'll hear more about that in the coming weeks. Starting in February, we're going to go to a half-hour format from 1 until 1:30. We'll still pack it in with lots of great news, so just stay tuned for that particular change starting in the month of February. I've had fun this weekend on Facebook. I have great Facebook friends. I have about 1,200 friends on Facebook, all ages from all over the world. And I had a great time just talking about the cultural habits and traditions in the Black community, one of them being Watch Night, where it goes all the way back to the Civil War, where African Americans commemorate the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation by President Lincoln on January 1st, 1863. It actually goes back to September of 1862, when the law was, the act was put in place, but it actually was enacted and went into effect on January 1st of 1863, where the slaves in the states of rebellion, those are the Confederate states that were at odds with the Union Army, they actually, their slaves were freed as of January 1st in 1863, which is the Emancipation Proclamation, which is tied in with a watch night service that Black people have done for years in our community. So just had a great conversation with that. If you want to be my Facebook friend, just look me up on Facebook, and I'll definitely friend you, and then you can read in the notes section. I have a whole article on that. So it was delightful. So that led to talking about black eyed peas, which is really big in the Black community, and we eat that on New Year's Day, which is done for good luck. That's just a cultural tradition in the African-American community here in the United States, and doesn't make any difference where you are. Black people will eat black-eyed peas. One of my Facebook friends is white, and she sort of tested it. She's on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. She asked a friend of hers on the West Coast about black-eyed peas, and the woman smiled and said, yes, we eat black-eyed peas, and instead of eating pig's feet, we eat ribs with ours. So it can be tested anywhere in the United States, and if you are talking to a black person who's from the United States, and again, for all my friends who were born in the Caribbean Islands or in Africa, it doesn't pertain to them, but those who are indigenous African Americans, we are really big on black-eyed peas for the new year. Well, that's led to now a new discussion, because I want to learn about other cultures and other customs that are related to holidays. I'm going to really pay close attention to Chinese New Year's, which is February 3rd this year, and it's the year of the rabbit. So we're going to be talking to probably an expert in the month of February, and wishing all of our Asian friends happy Chinese New Year. We'll talk about that. And then one of my African friends mentioned, don't forget that tomorrow is Ethiopian Christmas. So I looked that up. I knew about Three Kings Day, which takes place today. That is the sixth day where the wise men came bringing gifts to baby Jesus, and in many Latin American communities, they celebrate everything Feliz Navidad from December 25th all the way up to January 6th. So it's almost a two to three-week celebration, which includes January 6th. But now there's January 7th, which is tied into the Coptic calendar. So let me read this to you about Christmas in Ethiopia. And again, I thank my Facebook friends around the world that keep me posted on cultural nuances and cultural traditions that are very important. The Ethiopian Christmas, known as Ganna, that's G-A-N-N-A, is celebrated on January 7th. This celebration takes place in ancient churches carved from solid volcanic rock, and also in modern churches that are designed in three concentric circles. Men and boys sit separately from girls and women. Also, the choir sings from the outside circle. People receive candles as they enter the church. After lighting the candles, everyone walks around the church three times, then stands throughout the Mass, which may last up to 3 hours. And so there's a whole host of rituals and ceremonies that go on with Ethiopian Christmas. And Ethiopia Christmas Day is January 7th. So on Christmas Eve, the city is crowded with pilgrims from all parts of the country. They remain outside all night praying and chanting. In the morning, a colorful procession makes its way to a nearby hilltop where the service is held. Three young men march at the head of the crowd, lashing whips from left to right to keep the people in line. Those who worship are fed with bread and wine that have been blessed by the priests. After the service is over, the rest of the day is spent dancing, playing, sports, and feasting. Well, that sort of tied in with more research I did on the Coptic calendar. And the Coptic calendar is also known as the Alexandria calendar, is used by the Coptic Orthodox Church and still used in Egypt. The calendar is based on the ancient Egyptian calendar. To avoid the calendar creep of the latter, a form of the ancient Egyptian calendar was introduced by Ptolemy III, I remember reading about him a long time ago, who consisted of the intercalation of the sixth ecumenical day every fourth year. And speaking of Christmas, I'm just sort of dropping down. Coptic Christmas is observed on the seventh day of January. So again, different cultural dynamics and traditions based on the country that it's practiced in. The choice of December 25th to celebrate the Nativity of Christ was first proposed by one of the leaders in Rome, but was not apparently accepted until 336 or 364. So if you go back, you do a lot of research, and it's amazing what you come up with in terms of how we celebrate the various holidays. And again, the date December 25th, the Western version of Christmas, is an arbitrary date. We know that the Christ child was not born on December 25th, but it culminates with this end of the year, the end of the winter cycle, and the beginning of a new year and a new spring season. So it's just really, really fascinating. Well, I find this next gentleman absolutely incredible. I saw this piece a couple of days ago, and then I've seen it this morning, and I was just amazed with what had happened with him. I have another piece that I'll share probably next week. I want to talk to you all about the 10 countries that receive foreign aid, the most foreign aid from the United States, but we'll save that for next week. But I'm just fascinated by a gentleman by the name of Ted Williams. Ted Williams, this is not the baseball player Ted Williams, who died a couple of years ago. There was a pretty controversial piece about how his body was preserved and that kind of thing, but not that one. This is a gentleman in Columbus, Ohio, who was really down on his luck. He was formerly a radio personality and had radio jobs, and got caught up with drugs and alcohol, served some time in prison, is out of prison now, has been clean and sober for 3 years, and but still was having a tough time just trying to earn a living and make some money. His sign that this reporter from the Columbus Dispatch saw says, "I have a God-given gift of voice. I'm an ex-radio announcer who has fallen on hard times. Please, any help will be gratefully appreciated. Thank you and God bless." And he held the sign day after day. Sometimes he said he'd get $25 and sometimes he'd get 25 cents. But the age of technology is absolutely remarkable. And as a result of that, now he is a star. He is literally a star. I saw him on Keith Olbermann's show. He's been on every major talk show. CBS, ABC has had him on. And I want to play the original clip from YouTube that shares his story. His name is Ted Williams. You can go to YouTube. You can see it. There have been more than 3 million hits on this particular piece of footage. The Columbus Dispatch reporter was probably just looking for a good story to do, and he found a very, very interesting one. So I am going to now play for you this less than 2-minute clip about Ted Williams and the remarkable remarkable person that he is. So just stay tuned. We'll get everything queued up and we'll begin.
There are often homeless people asking for change at freeway exit ramps, but recently there's been this guy with an interesting sign at I-71 in Hudson Street. His handwritten sign says he has the God-given gift of a great voice.
Hey, I'm going to make you work for your dollar. Say something with that great radio voice.
When you're listening to nothing but the best of oldies, you're listening to Magic 98.9. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll be back with more right after these words. And don't forget, tomorrow morning is your chance to win a pair of tickets to see this man live in concert. Thank you so much. Well, when I was 14 years old, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. When I was 14, I kind of listened to one of our area radio announcers. And I went as a field trip to go meet the guy, and he looked nothing like what he sounded like. So I asked him about that, and he said to me, listen, radio is defined theater of mind. And so when he said theater of mind, I just said, well, hey, I can't be an actor, I can't be an on-air personality, but the voice just became something of a development over years, and I went to school for it. And then alcohol and drugs and a few other things became a part of my life. I got 2 years clean, and I'm trying hard to get it back, and hopefully somebody from one of these television or radio says, hey, I need a voiceover, or I need something. So, you know, I'm hoping one day, watch Family Guy, weeknights at 7:30 on Fox 28. Anything, but that's what it is, and I love radio.
What a remarkable human being. The last words that he said just stuck with me. He loves radio. I love radio. I just think radio is certainly the theater of the mind. There's so many things you can do with radio, and there's just a lot of things that Ted Williams certainly hung on to. I've seen some other clips. Again, there are lots of clips now because he's being celebrated and sent around the country. But one of the things he said he had my hour with God, and every day when he would stand out with his sign, we all see these individuals who are homeless or who have been, you know, just had their luck change on them, and they all have different signs. He would stand out there, and every day he would just try to make it happen and get it better and better and better. He is a real source of inspiration for me because he has overcome so much. We don't know what's going to happen in terms of his long-term career path. I'm hoping that he will stay clean and sober, but Ted Williams, he is just remarkable. As a result of that particular clip that I just played for you that's been on YouTube, 3 million hits over the last couple of days or so, now he is getting job offers all over the country. The NFL wants him. There was a local radio station. In fact, somebody had anonymously given $15,000 to bring him on board for a part-time job. There were other job offers that he has considered, but he is really strongly thinking about going to the Cleveland Cavaliers and working as an announcer for that organization. And it also involves a home. They will give him a house. The man has 9 children. I don't know anything about his kids. I don't know what, obviously the relationship clearly is strained with that number of children, and your dad is homeless, so perhaps it's part of the life that he led before. But I think one of the most heart-rending and tearful stories is the story about now he is going to have a chance to be reunited with his mother. I think he was just reunited with his mom yesterday. I was in tears just watching that. They showed a clip today of his mother. She's 92 years old, and she's just blown away that her son is alive, that when you see the picture that is on my web page, the Blog Talk web page, he looks really rugged. He's got all this hair, his beautiful, shocking hair that's blowing in the wind, but now he's all cleaned up and clean-shaven and looks like any other kind of person. I sort of like the hair. The hair really adds a lot of character to him. But he probably wanted to cut his hair since he's going to see his mother, or since he saw his mother yesterday. But he was in tears. He said the one thing he wanted to do was to get himself together, to clean himself up, and to be able to see his mother and to have a conversation and rebuild his relationship while she's still here on Earth. And clearly divine intervention prevailed, and he is going to be able to work. He couldn't even get on an airplane because he didn't have an ID, just the simple things that we just take for granted. But now he has an ID. They must have gotten something together for him very quickly. He has a job that he will be awaiting for him, and he's had an opportunity here at the beginning of the year to go and reunite with his mother, and hopefully that will be the same thing with his children. I hope he'll have a chance to reunite with them too. Just a great story, a story of remarkable comeback in this country. We need more stories like that, and I wanted to end the show with that story, because so often we have tough issues to talk about. We know that there's going to be a lot of arm twisting and tugs of war in Congress and state legislatures and with governors and with mayors and with all the leadership that we have. We know that those things are going to play themselves out over the next year, certainly 2 years. We have no idea who's going to run for election on the Republican side for president during the Republican primary. That remains to be seen. We have a pretty good idea. So we know all of those issues. And for those of you who are, you know, stuck on in tough jobs, or maybe you just lost your job, I certainly have friends and colleagues who are in that position. When you look at this story of redemption and this story of rebirth, and this story of someone who is going to get a reset button for the new chapter of his life, Ted Williams, they call him the homeless video star, is just, it's a remarkable story. And it lets me know, as he went out there and as we see a lot of people who are holding these signs up, and they're out there with their tin can, their tin cup, they're looking for money, they've got the perseverance to get up every day, and this is their job. This is what they're doing. They're out there, and it just is pretty, pretty remarkable. So I just say hats off to Ted Williams. I am going to follow this story to see how he does. I really hope he does extremely well, and it just lets me know that 2011 is going to be a pretty special year. I hope it's going to be a special year for you. I hope that you have goals and plans that you have decided, not just on New Year's resolutions, but just a rethinking of where you're going in life. What I did on January 1st is something that I do. Typically, I don't do resolutions, but this time I decided to put together my four quadrants for 2011. I have a quadrant for faith and all the things I want to do in the faith category. I have a quadrant for family and all the things I'd like to do with my family and my extended family and those I consider my children, wherever they happen to be in the world. I also have my finances and a long list of things I want to do in that particular category. And then my future, my personal development, things that I need to finish or begin or start or whatever it happens to be, I have that in the future quadrant. So not a list of resolutions, no, but I have specifics that relate to these four quadrants: faith, family, finances, and future. What are your quadrants? What are the things that you need to focus on, pay attention to, regroup, change your paradigm shift? What are things that you need to do so that this becomes an excellent year for you, a year where you fully are engaged in the days ahead, that every day that you have is a day where you have set your own reset button, where you are looking at the opportunities that are ahead of you, most importantly looking at the challenges that you have, and you're not running away from your challenges, you are heading them head on. And even when I made up these four quadrants for 2011, I looked at some pretty scary things that I had avoided last year that I am now facing now. So I'm hoping that this will be a year where you're going to face all of your challenges and face your opportunities. Have a song in your voice. Then you may not have a golden voice like Ted Williams, but you certainly have a gift that can be shared with other people. where you're going to realize that we're all facing tough days ahead of us, but also all of us are facing a remarkable ability to basically control our attitude and control the attitude that we have. Even if we can't control the circumstances, we can certainly control. So I hope that we are going to have an excellent, wonderful, exciting group of shows in the month of 2000, and certainly in the month of January, and certainly in the year 2011. And I hope that you're going to have a great weekend and start each day with the end in mind and certainly looking up and being as excited and as enthusiastic as you possibly can be in the year 2011. Go make it a great weekend. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and we will see you next week.